Let's get ready to wrinkle!
My sister's getting married this weekend.
What?
Oh, is that what's going on tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's why you're in a hurry to get to bed.
No, it's not. She's not getting married tomorrow. It's on Sunday. But here's the thing.
A Sunday wedding. Good for her.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. The guy she's marrying, never seen Star Wars.
What?
Wait. Have you checked to make sure he's a dude?
This is going to be a pseudo sibling of yours, right? So what are you doing to rectify the situation?
Nothing.
You're gonna be doubling your number of brothers in
his whole life.
He's a Star Trek guy.
I find
as in most things, if somebody likes something, it doesn't help to force something on them because they probably won't like it if you force it on them.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Nazi Germany was a huge success.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, we all know what Nazi Germany was about, and here we are 70 years later, and I can tell you all about Nazi Germany. So clearly, in some ways...
Well, maybe living in the time of Nazi Germany probably wasn't the best. I didn't live there.
Okay, so if he's a Trek fan, you've told him that JJ's, the guy that did his big Star Trek movies, right, is doing Star Wars, right?
I did. Yes, I've told him that.
Okay.
And he immediately did an about face.
No. He just told me, he's never been interested. And I'm like, well, actually, I'm not upset. I'm kind of impressed that someone in the world has never seen Star Wars.
Who's not, someone's a female.
Five.
See, I don't mean to be a sexist, but I've dated lots of girls who've been like, I know you really like Star Wars, and I'm really hesitant to admit this, but I've never seen it. And I'm like, yeah, get in line.
See, now these conversations always fascinate me because, it's one thing to have never seen the movie, but we take that a step further. I mean, does he know nothing about Star Wars? Like, he doesn't know Vader. He doesn't know that Luke is his son. I mean,
did you say Dark Vader?
Darth
Vader. I was like, pour this man some more Knob Creek.
I think you need to open your ears there.
That's entirely likely. I have lots of Knob Creek in my ears right now.
No, he knows the general, gist of what happens, but that's not the same as seeing it.
You know what though? Sometimes you commit to one giant science fiction property or the other. It took me into my twilight years of college age to actually start really appreciating Star Trek as much as I do now.
I've watched the J.J. Abrams movies. That's about it. Well, I've seen, a couple episodes.
One of those people who needs Star Trek. You need to watch the special Star Trek collections that they've released. What it's been like, hey, are you into the Borg? Here's all the episodes about the Borg. You can't just start like.
See, now my old man likes Star Trek. He was an avid watcher.
Yeah, you can't just start with the original series and go, this is going to hold up.
Some episodes do.
Absolutely correct. Some of them do because they're awesome, but a lot of them are not. And it's the same thing with the first few seasons of Next Generation. You're kind of like, who's this dude that he calls number one that doesn't have a beard? Like, it's just going to be confusing. Why does everyone wear red in this show?
Don't they die?
And then suddenly you get to season three or whatever. And you're like, wait. Do these colors have a significance? Because half the cast just changed color on me.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys have heard the phrase, and I'm going to share this for our listeners. You've heard the phrase, jump the shark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a reference to Happy Days.
Yes.
If Fonzie. A lot of people actually know the phrase but don't know the original.
Tell us the story. Corey.
I think the more modern version of Jump the Shark is Nuke the Fridge.
Nuke the Fridge. Yes. Which being an Indiana Jones reference. Absolutely.
Nice. Exactly.
But Jumping the Shark is a reference to Happy Days, where they pretty much got so obsessed with just Fonzie this and Fonzie that, and the rest of the characters were becoming less consequential.
They had no stories. They didn't know what to do with
them. Right. They're like, just put the dude what's in the jacket on his motorcycle, do stuff. And when he's done, make sure he goes, ay.
You know? Yeah.
And so they're like, let's have him jump over a pit of water with a shark in it with his motorcycle. Outside of the drive-in where everybody hangs out,
yeah.
because that makes sense to someone. You know, I like to see, you know,
Penny, and it actually wasn't at Arnold's. It was actually at the beach. Have you ever
was
seen
it that? Really?
Yes, it was at the beach.
Oh, dude, my gosh.
No. And Fonzie, no.
I thought they had a pool in the parking lot of Arnold's.
No. He didn't jump it on his motorcycle. He jumped it on skis.
Yeah.
No way.
And he was wearing Hawaiian shorts, his boots,
and a leather jacket.
Yes,
yes.
Wow. Yeah.
See, that's awesome.
I have this image in my head of what I described actually happening. I'm sure he probably jumped over some stuff in the parking lot of Arnold's.
He did. There was other episodes.
What's the background
where he jumped
like?
Stuff.
What's the background like? One of those rotating scenes on a conveyor belt.
Yeah, there's two guys like just like turning a wheel, and it's just like a 5 foot screen that just keeps rotating and rotating.
No, it was just great because it was a sectioned off area that had a shark in it, and they kept cutting to the shark, you know, looking menacing. You know?
Ooh.
And there's
a dorsal fin.
There's Ralph and Potsy on the beach going, "Oh my gosh, sit on it!
You sure you know what you're doing?"
Bombs. It was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Well, they were pulling out all the stops, and people said, you know what? Maybe this show has passed its prime.
Right? And that's so a show that has passed
its
prime.
That's where Jump the Shark came from. Well, there's a new inverse phrase. Okay. It's a newer, which refers to when a show suddenly gets good. I mean, it's very commonplace for shows, I would say, especially cable shows these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they start, their first few episodes can be very rough. I remember the first episodes of The Sopranos. Everybody was way into it, and I watched it with a couple of friends, one who listens to this show, and we're both like, eh. And then we watched the second episode, and we got to the end of that, and we're like, okay, keep going. You know, like, and that one hit its groove fast, but a lot of shows take time. And there is a phrase to when you hit the point where the show becomes good is called growing the beard,
okay.
Which is analogous to when number one, Riker, Commander Riker, actually grows a beard on the show. If you ever turn on an episode of, and there are a couple of good episodes from before, or at least impactful, meaningful ones.
Okay.
But usually they're all just a little more rough around the edges, a little more cheesy pie. Before he has a beard. So if you ever see a clean-shaven Riker, you're probably okay just walking away.
But when he grows the beard, you
and
better
when he grows the beard, you're probably okay to sit down and watch.
Oh, man.
Unless it goes heavy holodeck. You can also switch off the holodeck episodes.
There you go, everybody. You learn something new every day. With
you tune into a Star Wars podcast to learn about how to watch Star Trek. You are welcome. Welcome to Fly Casual, number episode 13, our Halloween spooktacular.
I'm scared already.
Just to freak you out, we're only going to talk about Star Trek the entire time.
The entire time, folks.
Oh.
That's frightening.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That's
I'm frightened.
That's the last Star Trek you'll hear in this whole thing. Wait, no, it might not be.
Maybe not. It might not be. Not so much.
Welcome to the Star Wars podcast, where we, the Gentlemen Four... That's our new name. We're just changing the
gentleman.
I
like it. Yep.
Yeah. We
I'm D'Artagnan.
ooh, I want to be Porthos.
Yes.
Porthos. I'm definitely Porthos.
Totally.
You're
definitely Porthos.
You'd be the ones whose names I don't remember. You two.
Okay. All Artemis. Right.
Yeah.
Apollo.
Yeah. Rocky. Clubber Lang.
Starbuck.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be Starbuck. you be Boomer.
I'm Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, sorry, Starbuck, Porthos, and D'Artagnan. And playing the part of Porthos, I'm Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me on my right, also known as Starbuck, Mr. Stephen J. Howie at Master Control.
Pure leaf tea.
There you go.
Oh, man.
He's hydrating.
You got freebies yet? That's all I wanted.
I don't think he paid for this. I don't think they sent it to him either. I think he just stole it out of a gas station.
Yeah. I was getting this when I was looking for some Black Series Star almost said Star Trek.
Oh my god!
It's already
back. Series Star Trek.
Okay, now wait a minute. I might be into that.
Did you get a 6-inch data?
Mike doesn't realize if he turns around and looks on my alternate display shelf that there's a Star Trek communicator down there and a Star Trek.
An old-fashioned
Star Trek med scanner. Oh yeah, the whole nine
tricorder.
Yards. Yes, medical tricorder.
The original iPhone.
You.
Yes.
Absolutely, with detachable mouthpiece.
Pretty much.
You can hold one up to your ear, one up to your mouth, and go, "Operator, dial me Brian." Fall, 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 fall. That, of course, that delightful cackle you're hearing is Apollo, a.k.a. Michael J. Archbold.
I'm Clubber Lang. I'm sorry, Clubber Lang.
Yes, yes, yes. I pity the fool that is okay. Michael J. Archbold.
How are you, Corey T. Wilson?
Could I be any better? I'm Porthos. I get all the great lines in the remake that had Oliver Platt as Porthos. Is that correct? Was it Oliver Platt or was it Charlie Sheen that played Porthos?
It sounds like a wiener to me.
Oliver Platt. He was the best part of that movie. And of course, across the retention pond and down a few in the Central City, I'm sorry, Circle City.
Circle City.
I got a little flash on you that time.
There you go.
Yeah. As Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. How you doing, buddy?
One for all and the other stuff.
That's right. One for all and all for two and these other guys.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
That's my motto.
Welcome to our Star Wars podcast. You are tuning in for episode 13, the Halloween episode.
But this also is what?
We're going to the episode where we talk about reviews and rumors.
Ooh, yeah.
You're like, hey, what happened to my news and my toy report?
What did happen? I have no clue.
Listen to episode 12 and probably episode 14. But if you're tuning into this one, you're listening for reviews and rumors. Guess what? Here's the thing about the spooky Halloween reviews.
What did we do?
Tell us.
We are going to spoil the crap out of everything. We're gonna be like a refrigerator during a power outage. We're gonna spoil the crap out of everything.
We're gonna frighten you with rumors and
that's right. Yep. We are the freezer that got left open.
I will haunt your dreams.
That's right. So, hey, if you're tuning in, know that we are going to speak.
And we'll stab you.
And probably stab you.
With knowledge or something.
And we are going to talk freely about the most recent episode of Rebels, which was entitled what, gentlemen?
Fight or Flight.
It's a pun. Yes. We're going to talk about Rebels. And then we're also going to be talking about the rumors regarding the upcoming episode 7 and things of that nature. So if you are of the type who goes, I'm going to stick my finger in my ear. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. Don't tell me anything. Hey, you know what? It's okay. We'll give you a free pass on this one. Tune into episode number 14.
That's right. Stay with the even number.
But remember, you will probably be missing a special guest.
That's right.
You do. So, you miss stuff.
Yes.
You miss
episode 13 is bringing back a special segment, Fan of the Week. Makes its triumphant return in this episode. So if you want to hear it, you need to stick around. And I'm going to tell you guys.
I hope it's me this time.
Hey, if there's a reason to get the stick out of your butt about spoilers, it's us. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, big smile, giant twinkle.
Like spoilers.
Bing! So in the meantime, I don't see any reason why we can't just go ahead and jump into reviews.
Review.
Yeah.
Pause for music.
Yes.
Don't make sounds. And don't sing fake review songs because there's going to be a song put here.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay. Hey. So episode 2 of Rebels came out, as we mentioned.
Episode 3.
No, it's actually episode 2. They're counting the 45-minute movie as a standalone movie.
Episode 0.
Right. So that was episode 0. So we're actually at episode 2.
Yeah, okay, episode 2 and episode 0.5
is Fight or Flight.
So the first one was what? It was Spark of Rebellion.
Okay.
That was episode 0 and 0.5.
Last week then episode 1
Droids
would have been
in Distress.
Right. So now we are at
Fight or Flight.
All
fight
right.
or flight. It sounds
it's adorable
like fight
when you guys finish each other's sentences. Seriously.
Or do they finish each other's sandwiches?
That's what I was going to say. That's my Dr. Pepper popping open.
So episode two, fight or flight. It's a pun for fight or flight, which is obviously the two options you have.
Does that count as a pun?
Some sort of danger.
So let's spoil it.
Tell us what happened.
Let's go round table. Who's watched it?
I have.
Okay.
Mike has.
Mike has.
Corey's watched it.
I've watched it.
Howie?
I have no cable.
Oh, that's the Corey. Only reason why I did this, because
why
normally,
haven't you sent
normally
Howie
I'm the
a
one
link?
Guy who hasn't read or watched something, so I just wanted to put Howie on the outs for a change.
Yeah, how's New
Do you
Dawn
feel
coming?
Now?
New Dawn is still great. It's still great
it's
for
been
those
a week
of you,
since I talked to you last about it.
For those of you who tuned into episode number 12, you'll recall that I said it's trucking along just as planned. Still true.
So we're going to have changes. To figure this out for Howie, though. How are we going to get him episodes so he can stay up?
I think we've got something possibly worked out.
To avoid the FCC,
I
think.
We do. Right. I have a feeling that, Howie, you'll probably receive 4 or 5 at a time.
That's
what I'm guessing is going to end up happening. Just call it a hunch.
Well,
I think that's what you'll end up seeing.
The first episode was free on iTunes for a while. I'm not sure if it still is.
Yeah.
The first episode of the movie.
I still have access to it. I have an Apple TV and mine is still there. So I have a feeling that was free and you still have
I can go get that one then.
There are 2 Apple TVs in the group and Howie is one of them. So
yeah.
So yeah, you can still access that.
All right.
So, episode 2. Should we just do a short recap?
Yeah, do a recap for us.
Well, this episode,
wait, you have to do it in the voice of the guy from Clone Wars.
Last time on
Firefly. Last time we left our rebels on the bridge of the ghost. I can't do that. I'm sorry.
You're doing okay.
It's sounding pretty good.
I have to think about it too much.
I can make sound effects with my mouth if it makes you feel better. I don't think that helps.
No. It sounded like I was listening to it, the old Star Wars on the tapes.
That's true. I'm not that far off.
Anyway, during this episode, we learn a few things. One, that Chopper's kind of a dick.
Chopper is
a dick. Yes.
Chopper for a droid. You gotta. How long has it been since this guy's had his memory wiped? Yeah. Seriously,
it's gonna happen.
He's a little eccentric.
He's gonna push Ezra too far one of these episodes,
and he's just gonna stab everybody.
So
with knowledge.
So we start the episode with Ezra.
He dropping knowledge bombs.
Sorry, I'm laughing like that cartoon cat from the Wacky Races. Oh my god,
Chumley or
calf cartoon dog, whatever he was.
I don't know.
Anyway,
the beginning of the episode, I guess Ezra is sitting down to breakfast and trying out his Jedi skills to levitate his cereal bowl, I suppose.
Yeah, something. Right. It's like he just got done eating like Rebel Crunch or something like that. Now with Rebel Berries, you know?
Up to this point, Kanan's kind of been not training him at all, so I guess he's
trying. He's promising training.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
What's up with Kanan just like, you know?
Hey, like, we're starting tomorrow.
I'm going to try practicing with the Force. Yeah, you do that.
Let me know how that goes.
Well, how much time has passed between the episodes?
I'm thinking not much.
Even if it was an hour, I still think it's hilarious.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
As a slight spoiler, I've seen episode 3, and that kind of gets Kanan motivated to train him in events that happened during that episode.
Right.
But anyway, this we're not talking about that. This is episode 2.
That's right.
So Ezra uses, or what we think at the time, he's using the Force to levitate a bowl. When he opens his eyes, he realizes Chopper is using his manipulator arm to lift it up.
Chopper is totally a dick.
And I think this is made me laugh out loud so hard when he finds out Chopper has been, you know, playing a trick on him, and Chopper's just like, wah, wah.
Exactly. Like, Chopper has built-in trombone wah.
And then Chopper just chucks the bowl at him and runs out of the door.
Yeah, seriously. Does anybody feel like Chopper is like a hyperactive kid with like ADHD who's off his meds?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this is effort and then runs off.
I've learned that this is why my 4-year-old loves Chopper. For real. I mean, we sat down and started watching. He knew Rebels before it was even broadcast.
Right.
And of course, the only character he knows is Chopper. And he goes, Chopper, Dad, Chopper. So, yes. But it's because Chopper is a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
He is.
But
basically,
he's a dick of a 4-year-old.
and we learn later he kind of gets worse, I guess. So, Ezra's chasing Chopper around and kind of stumbles across Sabine in her room with her door open, painting things on her wall.
Right.
He kind of tries to lay some game on her. And
yeah,
he does.
Quite unsuccessful.
Yeah. Seriously, he tries to put down some serious like mid-teenage angst on her.
Hey
there.
You paint stuff? Wow.
Hey, can't cutie.
I think your line was, I can't put anything past you.
Yeah.
So she's, wah, wah. And the Chopper's like, wah, wah, wah. So he ends up, Chopper kind of giving him a hard time about hitting on Sabine. So he chases Chopper into his bunk where Zeb is sleeping.
Because it makes perfect sense that,
they would room
Ezra
together, right?
And yeah. Zeb, who Zeb, get along in no way.
Each other. Yes, they would bunk together. Are bunking,
but it also makes sense that Zeb is the only one without a roommate. So,
right.
Guess what, Zeb?
Make your best friend.
Ezra can't sleep on the couch where the Jajaric table is.
Well, they have to create conflict somehow.
So. Also, if you sleep, you have to sleep in the fetal position around the Jajaric table, and that'll give you back problems.
Right.
A host of other issues.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, no, I don't think they have an insurance plan on the ghost.
Yeah, for,
chiropractic. But he goes in there, and Zeb senses him come in and says, "If you wake me up, I'm gonna kill you," or something to that effect. Which is, I guess, he was already awake. I don't know why he said that.
Yeah,
it's kinda weird. And so Chopper decides saying,
"Shut up."
Chopper decides to pull out his little stun shooter thing and start stunning everybody in the room.
Because Chopper's a dick.
Because why not?
Seriously. Why not?
Yeah, I think we have an episode title already.
Chopper's a dink.
He's a dink.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get that past
That's
the
what
sensors.
We've been saying the whole time. I don't know what the censors are.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a weird speech impediment.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Zeb, gets mad because Chopper's just zapping at him and Ezra, and I guess they get into a conflict, and while they're fighting, Chopper removes the bolt from the bed somehow. Yeah. he does this while he's talking to Sabine. That's what happens. So, Chopper goes into the room, removes the bolts that hold the bunk bed.
Which is, by the way, a detail easily missed.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention, you might not even notice this.
So he goes in there and he purposely instigates a fight so that I guess Ezra jumps on the bed to escape him, which ends up collapsing the top bunk on top of Zeb.
Right.
Which ends up pissing him off and runs after him. Of course, Chopper's out there twirling the bolts to his bed around. So then there's more
intrigue.
Yeah, intrigue and proof that Chopper's kind of a dink.
Yeah, yeah. And so ultimately what ends up happening is that he transfers the fight between him and Ezra onto Ezra and Zeb.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Now they've picked up their open wound and are, take that, and are actively fighting and climbing over each other until it spills
into the cargo
hold.
Ezra keeps goading Zeb himself, also telling him, "Hey, what are you going to do? Are you going to hit the guy that saved your life?" And
yeah,
of course, Zeb's getting frustrated. He's like, "You keep telling me that every 23 seconds."
Arguably,
which is
Ezra did not
frame
save
of time.
Zeb's life. Zeb just took advantage of Ezra's life being in peril to get away, which is from
he pushed the Jairus guy with the force and smashed him against the wall right when he was
Agent Kallus was about to kill him.
Yeah.
Right. I totally forgot about that. Thank you,
so,
gentlemen.
So, yeah, he did save his life, but almost on accident, I guess, because he couldn't replicate that in real life. So, anyway, the fight gets out of hand. Hera kind of gets frustrated with what's going on.
You know, we've talked
off the ship.
We've talked several times about Hera being like the mother of the group, or the mother figure of the
and
group.
It really comes through.
Oh yeah, they don't pull their punch on that because literally, like, it's like, hey, and they stop fighting and look up and like angry mom face looking down. You know, as if she's like up in the family room loft looking down on two boys fighting in beanbag chairs and just like, I will come down and murder both of you.
They're basically like fighting brothers, is what I got out of this. It's older and the younger brother just constantly at each other's
throat.
They
have their different levels of physical immaturity, more or
right,
less.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, of course, I guess in order to get them closer together, she sends them on a mission to get supplies as well as Melun. What is it?
Melurun.
Melurun. Kind of fruit that Hera likes.
Which it's they come to find out is not grown locally on the planet that they're on.
They didn't think they would even be able to find
them. She just did it to make them have to work together to accomplish an arguably impossible task.
See, this is his training already.
Yeah, Hera's taking over because Dad's being a butthole and not actually training him yet.
He's being a lazy dad on the couch playing Jajark with Chopper.
Feet up, socks out.
Yeah.
But anyhow... They embark on their mission to go find this.
Yeah, they go to the village and
right.
they talk to a Rodian fruit vendor, I guess, and they find out that that fruit isn't common and not even grown on the plant they're currently on.
That's not the Rodian that tells them that. It's actually a gentleman who recognizes Ezra.
That's right. It's one of Ezra's friends, actually, parents.
Yeah, his parents, right.
Yeah, so he knows him through that. He tells them that's not even grown here. Well, they find a Rodian who had a crate of them, but he'd already sold them to the Empire.
Yeah.
So the Empire ends up taking these and throwing them on a what is that thing? Like a transport with guns on the top. Troop transport, I think they're calling it. And Ezra has the bright idea to, hey, why don't we just steal it from the Empire? We do it all the time. Why not?
Zeb's like, what?
We're not even really could possibly go wrong?
We're not even supposed to get these. You know, and he's and of course I'm making the monkey fists. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's not even like a real thing. And Ezra's like, hey, she told us to get them. I'm a cocky kid. Blarg.
So he ends up trying to use the force to lift the top of the crate to pull one out, and it's quite unsuccessful.
It's a great scene though, because he's like focusing really hard. The music's hanging on. They're making he's using the force sound effect, and like even Zeb's eyebrows go up, like, oh, maybe he'll do it. Until a stormtrooper just walks up and just holds it shut.
And Zeb just cracks up. He's like, all right.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Ezra has the bright idea to distract the guards and try to steal one manually, I guess.
Yeah.
And ends up getting caught, kind of. And they have to run for their lives. And Ezra climbs up.
I would say long story short. They end up kind of Zeb out of options ends up stealing a TIE fighter.
Right.
While Ezra is awesome. On this transport. And so then Zeb is trying to figure out how to pilot a TIE fighter, which he is not familiar with doing. And, you know, there's definitely some comedy of errors involved when it comes to how this all comes together. But then also the transports end up going to we met the person who is familiar with Ezra's parents. Goes to his farm, and because the Empire's decided they wanted to buy his farm, and he said no. And they said, no, all right, fine, we're just going to take it from you.
Yeah, it's mine now.
And they arrest him and his wife. And so, you know, basically, as this all unfolds, Ezra's like, all right, we also got to save those folks. It's because that's not cool. Right. So, you know, Zeb's kind of reluctant at first, but he's like, we got a TIE fighter. Why not? So then, of course, the adventure unfolds there where they're trying to actually, you know, accomplish their mission, their impossible mission, and also save these couple of people. It's nice because it is a pocket story that focuses on a very small thing, which is literally they were sent on a mission to learn to get along. This is not some overarching galaxy expanding story at all. This is a strictly a character developing story. That's the only purpose it serves. And it's very contained, and it allows you to actually roll at a speed that makes sense in a 21 minute television show.
Right. It basically was a one-off, but there was a lot of character development that did occur. I agree.
Yeah.
And, I love some of the dialogue they had with, calling to the ship to ask, Kanan kind of for advice without actually telling him what they were doing.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? A TIE fighter?
Why do I hear a TIE fighter?
And that line's like, I hope you disabled the locating beacon. Like, that was great. It's the first thing we did. Which one is it? The red or the blue one?
It's the red and the blue one.
We did that as soon as we got aboard. That's already a thing
that's already done. that was very, very clever.
There was a lot of funny dialogue. And of course, this whole thing happens and they end up getting away in the Maloon fruit. And they come back without the TIE fighter. And this is what I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kanan meets him kind of at the base of the dock of the Ghost with Hera. And he's like, so what'd you do with the TIE fighter? And they basically look at each other. They're like, we crashed it. So nobody could use it.
Yeah. And on Kanan purpose.
And you, looks get, at the, it for a you second, get the impression like, okay. that they've actually stashed it somewhere use.
After Kanan turns around and boards the ship again, they kind of look at each other and kind of give each other like a little smirk. And laugh and run up the gangplank.
Right. So the question is, did they crash it on purpose, on accident, or did they crash it at all? And who knows?
It's funny you ask, because there was a few Easter eggs in this episode that I'd like to get out of the way real quick.
Really?
Please before share we actually actually discuss what we thought of the show.
What color are the Easter eggs?
There's a pink one.
Oh.
A purple one with a white bunny.
Did you use a white crayon on them before you dyed them?
I did.
No, this is there is Easter pump jack-o'-lanterns. I don't nice. Know. Never mind.
Easter.
Anyway,
that's a thing. Right. No, that's a thing.
If you look closely on one of the scenes when they're first coming into the market, you actually see Luke Skywalker.
What?
Yes. Not. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. General Luke Skywalker.
Okay. Yes.
From I did see the that. Star I did Wars see comic that. Series.
Yes. Where General Skywalker was there.
Right. They did a little homage to the Star Wars comic.
Actually,
Star
I don't know if you've Wars, noticed, right. but actually, some of the folks, like background people and stuff, wear that kind of headgear.
Yes, I have actually noticed that. Yes,
so there has been some of that. But yes, I saw that too, Garrick.
He had the gray hair, the head thing. It looked almost exactly like he did in the comic.
Yes.
Which I thought was, they're kind of doing that in all these episodes so far, just having a little homage to like the last episode they had.
Just to back up, so people understand.
Hands on board.
Just so people understand what we're talking about when we say General Skywalker, this was the comic that we had referred to a few episodes ago.
That was
based on like rough draft scripts of the original stuff.
Before episode 4 was made as Star Wars.
Right.
These were the early drafts of the script, which means the characters were different. They were totally looked different. They had different backgrounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, different planets. Right. Everything was different.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, it's just, I some people think it's too much, but I like the McQuarrie, mm-hmm. you know, the stuff, the homages to McQuarrie and the early stuff.
Everywhere.
I mean, yeah, I like that stuff because the casual watcher will not pick up on that stuff, but geeks like us that are steeped in the lore,
I
love picking out, you're right, the little and Easter eggs are great.
The geeks are the key.
Like, you really see Filoni, like, really, you can tell he's really into the EU because he puts these little things in there, I think just to, for himself maybe, and for us, you know, hardcore fans that will recognize him.
Right. Well, what else did you see in addition to the General Skywalker?
There was... this wasn't actually in the show, but it's just Steve Potter actually posts this on his Twitter.
Fan of the show.
He posted a link to a website where they did an article on a Facebook picture that the Rebels Facebook page had posted back on September 20th. The picture shows Lothal. You know, they have those rock outcroppings.
Right.
Which is the planet in this case. Lothal. They had a ring of stones with a TIE fighter nestled in the middle of this ring.
Nice.
So it's kind of like is it that the same TIE fighter they just stashed in that ring of stones and walked away? So it's kind of like maybe that's, and that came out way before the episode came out. Cause I'm wondering if maybe that's kind of like the proof that, they didn't crash it. There's no way they did. Those two, come on.
Yeah. So, there's a great kind of Laurel and Hardy kind of like love hate, but yet mischievousness that's developing between the two of them that I find really charming.
I think during the course of the show, they definitely got a newfound respect for each other
and
their own abilities. So.
Right on.
So what did you guys think? I know Mike had some things to say over text message that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Maybe
you'd
like to discuss.
Here's the thing. It was definitely a character development episode for sure. It wasn't.
More, please. Love those.
Here's the thing.
You gotta lay a strong foundation before you build your house, Michael James.
Okay. Here's the thing. Here's what the critics are gonna say. It was too much like a Jar Jar or a droid episode from Clone Wars. That's what the critics are gonna say. That's the what critic, Steve Petrie's gonna say. I
Misa
guarantee
think
it.
Thank you, full of bantha poodoo.
No, I'm not. It wasn't my favorite episode. I'm just gonna say that right now. It was a little too goofy for me.
You just didn't like dangling upside down outside of a TIE fighter.
I will admit.
When it came to steering a TIE fighter with your feet while flying it upside down, I thought that was a little too over the cheesy pie edge. But
I'm not saying I hated the episode. I mean, just same with Clone Wars. I didn't despise that series. There was things I really liked about it, and I'm seeing that it's going to be the same thing here. But don't expect every episode to be real meaty and deep and everything else. I mean, we're already seeing right now that there's going to be what some would consider to be fluff episodes. Corey might not agree with that assessment of this particular episode, but
fluff you.
It wasn't my favorite, man. It just wasn't. It was just a little too goofy.
You're not your favorite out of two.
No, here's right. Exactly. But I'm just saying that's I know that that's what the criticism is going to be. And here's the thing, though. I accept it for what it's worth, man, just like I did with the Clone Wars.
A lot.
I was fine with droid episodes and Jar Jar episodes. Were they my favorite? No. Did I skip through a lot of it? Yeah. And I'm just seeing that that's probably what's going to happen here with Rebels. See, I'm not like, going to love every episode.
I feel like it's like a warm, sandy mud bath that I can just like rub into all my crevices and be like, oh, the exfoliation feels so freeing because I'm like reveling in the fact that they are here providing me with characters that they're like, you know what? These are characters we made up, but we're going to make them matter to you. We're going to take the time to make them matter. Something you could not do with clones. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it could have been done, but it wasn't.
But here's the thing, Corey. I mean, do you want a lot more of those types of episodes? Yes. You want a lot more of the of episodes like episode one?
I want I want a 3-to-1 ratio. I want three intimate character episodes and one big overarching episode.
I just know you, man. That's why I'm rolling for. Dude, you're digging this stuff right now, but if it's more like 50-50 or something else, man. Two or three seasons of this, well, you're going to be bitching about it. No.
These kind of episodes need to happen up front.
For the first season or two, especially.
And it's very important that they don't jump the shark.
Right.
And go overboard so they have to outdo themselves the next season. Right. And it's completely off.
Michael, if you establish the will they won't they way right out of the gates, then nobody's going to care down the road.
I think the second episode they should fly and blow up the Death Star.
Look, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just saying that there's going to be people out there that are saying, oh, it's a fluff episode.
Well, those people can shut it. They can put on their seatbelts and they can sit tight.
But that's what people are going to say about this.
Mike, I've seen episode 3, and it's going to be more in your wheelhouse from what you're saying right now.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you happy now, Michael?
I'm going to finally introduce Inquisitor.
Why does Mike keep saying that he hates Rebels?
You guys, why do you hate Rebels?
Why do you hate Rebels, Mike?
Not what I said. You guys are not listening to me.
Why do you hate Rebels?
I said I liked all of Clone Wars.
This isn't Clone Wars. Why do you hate Rebels?
You guys are terrible.
No, honestly, awful people. Honestly, I know. Every time I listen to us after we record and I say this, I roll my own eyes. But I'm going to bring it back to Firefly once again, which is the gold standard for science fiction on television. And I'm going to tell me that episodes like Janestown were not great episodes.
Those are some of the best episodes.
Exactly. Yeah. The episodes that said pause, timeout, we're not going to talk about the lore and the fiction because we're going to take an entire silly, goofy premise to give you a funny insight into one character's background.
Or the Jubal Early one where it just took place on that ship.
Right. Right. In fact, I mean, that series was only one episode one season long. Right. And at the end of that series, you didn't know anything. You didn't really know much about the brown coats. You didn't know why the what was the name of the overarching government in Firefly? Bad guys. You didn't know why they were after
the Alliance.
Them.
Yeah.
You didn't know why the Alliance was really after them. You didn't know what Book's secret history was, even though you knew him. You didn't know any of that because they were taking their time.
But it's one of the best things on television.
You guys are speaking Chinese to me because I've never seen one episode of Firefly.
I'm going to drop you in the crotch.
There's actually some Mandarin in Firefly.
That's
so
true. Yeah, there's lots of Chinese spoken.
You're speaking Greek. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know that there's a lot of Greek spoken in Firefly.
Okay, we got to pause. If you have
seen Firefly, stop. You know what? Corey, back when it first came out, gave me the disc, like the inaugural season premiere episodes and all that stuff. I can never even get through one episode.
And you know what? I also gave you the disc to Battlestar. Learn to trust the brother.
And I freaking went all the way through on that one.
Yeah, you did.
So to tie this back to Rebels.
this is a Star Wars podcast. Star Wars? Yes.
I just want to bring something up. Episode 8 of Rebels is called Empire Day.
You've already seen that one?
No. I've just seen the episode Nameless, which I thought it was a funny, maybe even an homage Empire to Day. A Firefly. Yeah, and one of the episodes of Firefly was called Unity Day, which is what I pretty much think is what's going to happen in Empire Day.
I'm telling you guys, I know I keep using this horse to death, but I'm telling you, that's
with some Imperials.
Have we cross-referenced these writers with the Firefly writers?
I'm telling you, I've been saying it for months. That's exactly what they're trying to do, and they're doing it. They're doing it right. No matter how much Mike hates the show, they're doing it right.
I just thought that was
hilarious. Don't hate the show. I'm just telling you what the critics are going to say.
They don't have a synopsis for that episode yet, but it's got to be the exact same thing that happened in Firefly.
Look. The last thing I'm going to say about this too, man. At the end of the day, this is still a cartoon, man. It's still a kid's show. So the episodes that we just saw, I mean, are... It is what it is.
The first episode, they pick up a mysterious crate. They also end up with a kid, a young person on board with a somewhat questionable history. This Firefly 2.
C-3PO is there.
I'm happy that you guys love that it's a Firefly ripoff. I love that you guys care about that. I'm a Star Wars fan first and foremost.
Far more than I am a Firefly fan. But when I did finally commit to Firefly, and it took a few failed attempts, it really did. And actually, the Serenity movie helped me commit to the actual show.
I actually watched the movie before I watched
I'd seen a couple episodes of the show, but they had no impact on me until I watched the movie. And I was sitting in the movie at the theater going, this seems really familiar to me. And so, but the reason why I was able to commit to it is because I felt like Joss Whedon knew what made Star Wars good and was exaggerating that.
We actually had conversations about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I felt like that was...
See, okay. And I know so little about Firefly, I had no idea that Joss Whedon was involved in that. So now you've piqued my interest again.
It's
him.
Yeah, it's his baby.
That was his baby, man.
That, yeah. Get
watch
on board.
The movie first. Maybe it'll be but the
yeah,
same.
No, I just, if, maybe, if you watch maybe Firefly, you might learn to like Rebels. You're curmudgeon-y bastard.
I'm done.
Well, my two cents is I liked it,
yeah,
regardless of what Mike says. He's the chopper of the group, I think.
your manipulator arm back in your pants.
What'd you think of episode 2? Wah, wah.
Yeah. This guy.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm just going to tell you, friend of the show, Steve Petrie, I don't think he'll like it. I'm just saying.
So are we going to rate this show like we did? Like, what was our rating system?
I would say
five crumpets out of Death Stars.
I would say, how many jubels out of early is this one? I'm going to rate it 10 jubels out of five earlies. Again, Firefly Roberts is sailing over my head.
Whatever. Okay.
I got it. All
right. On a scale of 10, I would give this episode a 4.5.
God,
oh, wow.
He really does hate the show. Man, we were making jokes before, but now it's like a real thing.
Yeah, if you go below 5, that means you hate it.
Yeah. Seriously. Mike, don't you realize
it wasn't my favorite episode. Get okay,
on
over
the
it.
Internet, not my favorite means 8.5. Seriously, don't you read IGN or anything like that?
That's IGN, man.
Yeah, IGN rates on a scale of 8.5 to 10.
Yeah, no, most reviews I read are either 1 or 5. You know, 5 out of 5. So,
yeah, well,
whatever.
Well, I think that's a good point, though. I think it's going to resonate with some people, and it's not going to with others.
But I think the people that don't like it are probably still going to stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm the kind of person where if I'm not invested in the characters, I'm not going to watch.
I got chills from the TIE Fighter sound effects.
Because there was so much of it.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, have you ever heard that much TIE Fighter outside of one of the X-Wing or Flight Sim games?
I've never seen a TIE Fighter fly in Atmo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's I have. I've played Rogue Squadron.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that.
All right, well, what do we got going on next?
Well, that means if we've wrapped up, that's all we've got for reviews today, isn't it, boys?
It is. Yep.
That means it's time for rumors.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah.
Me's a favorite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're lucky we're not streaming right now.
Garrick, I'm doing the butt dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, well, all right, guys,
Mike, I guess it's time that we have to listen to you and not make fun of you that much.
and be
I
aware.
Don't there's hate gonna, rebels.
There's going to be a rating of you afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, no.
Yeah.
on how good the rumors are. Okay, you guys ready?
We haven't come up with a scale just yet, in all fairness.
Well, this week we have new leaked photos from the set of episode 7.
New leaked photos?
You have. Yeah, if you want to click on it and take a look at this leaked photo, because I doubt that Corey has looked at it
probably
yet.
Probably not. I'm not good at things.
Well, first off, earlier in the week we had...
This one?
You might have to... This is an article. You might have to look. There's probably a link to the actual picture. Yeah, that one. Go to that one.
Why don't you link to the link rather than linking to the thing that links to the link?
Because this was an adjacent story, man. This came later in the week. So anyway, okay. So what happened earlier in the week is that a picture was leaked, or pictures were leaked about supposed a set shoot, an exterior set shoot that included stormtroopers. Okay,
sweet.
On a supposed jungle-like planet. And
you can Ewoks?
Well, if these pictures ever load,
like, I'm looking at a loading WordPress icon that makes me think of Cerebro from X-Men. Welcome, Professor.
So take a look. You can see the stormtrooper up there on the left.
What is happening? This is guiding me through some sort of weird slideshow.
It's a slideshow. So a lot of these pictures don't show a whole lot of anything, but the one that people were all geeking on was that first one that you saw.
Yeah.
So it looks like an exterior set. It looks like stormtroopers. How this person got this close. This isn't a drone picture. This looks like actually somebody was close up and used a telephoto lens or something and got close and snapped a couple pictures.
They're not great quality photos. Like, I'm looking at that stormtrooper. It almost looks like it's superimposed, even though I'm sure it's probably not.
Well, and see, and that's the thing, too. I'm looking at these, and I had those questions, too. I'm not sure how real this looks.
Well, there is a blue screen in the back. So
there's a blue screen, and that's kind of a question mark for me. Well, I don't know, because it's exterior and I guess there's green foliage.
Yeah, yeah, so they're in the woods. They have to use a blue screen. They have to use a blue screen.
So that would make a little more sense. And for people that don't know what we're talking about, when you digitally impose backgrounds, you use either a blue screen or a green screen. And
obviously they're not going to have the chiss in this scene.
chiss. I was just going to say that.
What if they had Inviso chiss?
Oh,
okay.
So drop my mic.
So this is what happened earlier in the week. The article that we have linked on the website, the newest one, actually has a supposed eyewitness account of this whole thing. So supposedly. Somebody came out and said, oh, they watched as the scene was filmed and there were certain things about it. It looked like that there was a group of stormtroopers that were going through a village and they were lighting things on fire and doing things like this. Supposedly, Han and Chewie were involved in the scene. Somebody claimed to hear Harrison Ford's voice say something to the effect of Chewie run or something like that. So I don't know. A lot of this stuff, the pictures don't look don't hold up to what we've seen with other sets.
They could easily be cheap cell phones. Let's say someone's
making sure. How do you get that close? If that's a cheap cell phone, how do you get that close?
I don't. You could be standing that close.
The camera operator.
Yeah, it could be the person holding the phone.
And they're like,
here's the thing.
They check your
smartphone at the door, and you hear you've got the $10 prepaid phone in your pocket just to take crappy pictures like this.
What guys are saying is that, okay, so the stuff that we usually see with the drones and stuff are usually just fans and stuff flying in.
Yeah,
what
you guys are suggesting
is that this is like these are like actual. People that are working on the film
pulling out
their cell phone and going boom boom boom. Yeah. But there's
this didn't start happening. Supposedly, until he's on the
that's a good point.
Supposedly, I mean, cell phones are collected before they go on the set, and
that's
stuff
what I
like
said.
That,
you get a $10 junk phone in your pocket. Yeah. You hand over your smartphone,
right?
And you keep the Best Buy or prepaid.
You can buy really small cameras that are not very detectable. So
that's true.
This is true. Accurate, gentlemen.
Like a pin camera.
So we got some pictures and some descriptions of what may be going on, and some people are calling this possibly Yavin. Like there's a conflict
because
on
there's
Yavin.
A tree. So clearly they're going to be on either Yavin or Endor.
That's what people are saying. I'm just reporting the news, man. So.
The only planets in the galaxy that grow trees.
Give me more Ewoks.
Give me Merker.
Merker doesn't exist, Garrick.
Shut up.
Not yet.
Does too.
So, do you guys know Benedict Cumberbatch? Who is this guy anyway?
Never heard of him.
I don't know.
Is that a way to have eggs?
Is that like an egg recipe?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Is that something I wear with a tux?
Oh, I know. You gentlemen mean the king of all nerds that ever existed.
Yes,
ever.
Right. That would be him. Yes,
because
you're right.
His not only his involvement in the second Star Trek movie, but also, of course, the
Doctor
fact
Who.
Smile.
No, I'm sorry. Not Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Wow, I screwed that one up, didn't I?
Listen,
Sherlock Holmes. I'm so sorry. It's nerds everywhere.
It's bad enough
I guess it's on the same channel. And now I call Benedict Cumberbatch Doctor Who.
I will knock you.
Not yet, anyway. Wait.
Thank you.
I was going to say, would it be that bad to have him as Doctor Who?
I didn't say it wouldn't be awesome to have him as Doctor Who.
What?
But my heavens, man.
You've heard it here first.
We broke it.
Seriously, I think the entire nation of England would just sink into the ocean at that point.
Stephen Moffat listens.
Benedict Cumberbatch is back in the news again, man.
The heartthrob of women nerds everywhere and the man crush of men nerds.
No, he never does. He's always in the news. So,
would you leave the news if you were as cool as him? That dude is the coolest cucumber on the face of the earth. He is a funky looking dude, but he carries himself so cool and acts so well that like all the ladies are just like,
I'm telling you what though, he works that name.
Not just the ladies.
Everybody loves that name.
Do you know how he describes his own name? He says that his mother wanted him to take a stage name.
Yeah.
Because I believe his parents are in show business too, and she wanted him to take a stage name, and he went with his own name, and he said, it's rather like a fart in a bath, isn't it? Okay. Is that not just absolutely the most wonderful British thing you've ever heard in your life?
I can think of Doctor Who. Yeah. I can see Doctor Who saying that.
Oh, so he's back in the news. If you guys remember, several tens of podcasts.
We had rumors that there was a part written for him.
Yeah, so the original rumors as it. Here we go with the blue chips. Now, the original thoughts back at the time were that JJ had slated him for inclusion in the film, and that at some point the part was rewritten for a female character, and that female character ended up
supposedly played by Gwendolyn Christie.
Gwendolyn Christie,
correct.
Right. So that's what the rumor was, and so people were tweaking on him originally for a while, and then it died down once Gwendolyn Christie was brought on and seemingly took over the role that he was pegged for.
But Gwendolyn Christie has since broken her ankle on the set of The Falcon. And so now he's stepping back. I love Gwendolyn Christie. I really do. But I love Benedict Cumberbatch more. Yeah.
It makes you wonder. The short of it is that he's back in the news. And I don't think there's any one specific thing that's brought this back up. But maybe it's just nerds wishing, to the point. But the rumors are back up that he has some kind of role, and that the role is either a bit part, like a cameo,
right,
or something more significant, like he'll be introduced later in the film and will be a more significant character.
I got it.
He's the voice of Smaug.
I got it. Sheev the Second.
Sheev Jr.
Junior.
Yeah.
The reanimated Palpatine?
Yeah. Sheev Jr. That's what I said.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? If they put him in and they bring back Palpatine as him, I would be okay with that.
Okay, yeah. Resurrected Palpatine. We're going so Dark Sheev Empire. Palpatine, but,
okay. So as long as it's Benedict Cumberbatch, we're cool with that.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the only way they can make it work.
He could be in charge.
I'm not going to say it's the only way they can make it work, but it's the easiest way to get my stamp of approval because I know that matters.
Wait. Let's. Garrick says what?
He could be Jar Jar for all I care.
That would make Jar Jar more interesting.
He'd make it work.
Misa. Old school Jar Jar. He's old. His eyes are drooping on his giant beak.
And he's actually wearing the costume. He's not animated. So.
He's wearing a rubber suit.
Okay.
He's wearing a deerstalker hat. Okay. And he's got a pipe. Misa think it's elementary. That's nice. Perfect. I love it.
Nice. So you guys wouldn't hate that if he ended up in Star Wars 7, huh?
It'd be all right.
Hey, wasn't he already
only
in that
if there's
JJ
no character
property?
Development?
Wasn't he? Was
See, that's where I'm at.
That's
man.
How you get. That's how you get a mic on board. Wasn't he already in that JJ property called Star Trek 2?
Star Trek
Into Darkness.
He's probably like a little small bit on that
bit part.
Was he in
called Khan?
That was him.
I do get annoyed with directors who like to use the same actors over and over
again.
Exactly. It's kind of like it's Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah,
exactly.
If those two would just get a room already.
And Kevin Smith and everybody.
Well, there's lots of people with ensemble casts, but like I'm not going to bring like Wes Anderson into it or the, you know, or the Coen brothers, because you're right. Kevin Smith is pretty flagrant. He's just like, hey, we get along. We smoke weed together.
There's a lot of director producers that are very flagrant about using the same people over and over.
But if you have Cumberbatch as the person you keep bringing back, kind of
a little more cred in that regard. I don't know, tread lightly.
He's got a lot of range though, so he could pull it off.
He's got deep and brooding.
He can play dragons.
That's apparently. Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's we'll see how this fleshes out. But yeah, I don't know. I have kind of mixed feelings about this. I you know, especially if Simon Pegg's in the movie,
In all actuality, it's one of those things that they could execute very poorly, and it could just be a thing that, oh, here, look. And that wouldn't be good.
What if they all play a bunch of chubby Twi'leks slowly turning to the camera?
At one time.
It's like a gang of Twi'leks.
That's right.
Like the chubby Twi'lek version of the Pussycat Dolls.
You know? You know what?
Are they still relevant?
The Twi'leks or the Pussycat Dolls?
Twi'leks are always relevant.
That's not who I was referring to. It's Pussycat Dolls, really?
Don't question my references, because you'll tumble down a dark hole.
I'm sorry.
You'll never come back out. What's next, Mike?
Check. Okay. Well, supposedly we've heard this week that Han Solo is going to be in episode 7. Did you guys hear this?
No way.
What?
I heard he broke his ankle.
Or ripped off his leg.
I thought he had a near-death experience after jumping off a 2,500-foot slide.
Out of a 5,000-foot slide.
But they ended up putting him in Star Wars 7. I can't believe this, but no. Seriously, the rumor this week, supposedly going around the internet, is that Han Solo has got another disguise role in episode 7.
Stormtrooper.
What is a disguise role? You know, like he's also playing an Isalamiri. I mean, like, what is that exactly?
They already got the action figures.
I don't know.
There wasn't the
stuff that I saw didn't have much detail, but they were kind of alluding to the fact they were posting pictures of Han Solo dressed as a stormtrooper.
They're getting ready to raid an Imperial outpost. And he goes, wait, hold on. He just reaches down, brings up a big old ball of mud, and wipes it on his face.
Goes all right, Rambo.
We just sold another toy.
Well, I mean, does this sound like JJ going back to the well and putting Harrison Ford back in a stormtrooper costume?
That depends. Maybe he's not in a stormtrooper costume. Maybe he's in a wheelchair.
That could be. So then he'd be Professor X? Is that what you're saying?
Now, wait a second.
That's going too far, man.
You've got something there.
We might. Yeah.
I always wondered, did Professor X look like Professor X when he woke up in that other guy's body? It turned out it was
Harrison Ford, yes.
Until he turned back into Patrick Stewart.
Don't think it through.
Bryan Singer doesn't want you to think it through.
Wait. Last Stand never happened, right? Is that how we're supposed to take this now?
Well, now at this point, yes. So. It sort of did, but only in the mind of Wolverine. Everything's fine.
Nothing happened, right?
Everything is better. Brett Ratner can die in a fire.
Is this whole thing, this Han Solo in a disguise and possibly another stormtrooper, is this like another way to sell toys?
Well, I think
it's another take this head, put it on that body. No.
I think you could absolutely have another disguise. Why wouldn't he sneak somewhere and want to surprise people?
Well, here's my concern with this.
Happy birthday!
But if you put him in another stormtrooper outfit, that's going to be.
Yeah. See, this is our critique. This is our critique.
What if it's a chrome trooper?
Well, then that's different.
He's going to have the party in the back. See,
what if it's a situation? It's a situation like in Ghostbusters 2 where the Ghostbusters are dressed up like Ghostbusters, but they do kids' parties.
Yeah.
That's true. He could be doing kids'
too
parties.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
Oh, so what you're saying is the New Republic took all the Stormtrooper outfits and gave them to their soldiers.
They repurposed them.
They repurposed them. That's
it's
right.
It's kind of like with Joffrey and his little play.
Right.
You know,
Can we have Game of Thrones?
Can we have Bobby Brown do an updated theme,
please,
for Star Wars? Is that
please?
If it's up to us, come on, let's. I'm gonna sing it every episode.
Take control.
I don't know this one.
We got.
That's artistry.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna have to change the words a little bit, but I think we're good. I think we're on the right track.
I'm not sure that I didn't just change the words.
No, but here's the thing, man. I mean. Is this some shtick that JJ would pull off?
I don't know. He goes back to the well.
Yeah,
I'm not buying this one though.
But it's a disguise. So what?
I'm not buying the Stormtrooper.
Well, yeah, I'm not buying anything until I see it.
Okay, here's what I have to say about it. It's all in the execution.
Actually, you are going to buy something.
Right. It's all in the execution. If they execute it right and it's funny and it brings the appropriate amount of laughter.
Yeah, honestly, okay. Anything. Yeah, it's all up to the execution.
This time I'm in the gold bikini.
And you're in the carbon bag.
Gold bikinis, yes.
I'd buy that action figure.
What have we heard?
You would.
What have we heard about TIE fighters lately, Mike? TIE fighter report.
Let's hear the TIE fighter sound. You know you got it.
It almost turned into a Wookiee.
With less alcohol, it sounds better.
The TIE fighter report actually goes back to our last podcast. We mentioned that there were some photos leaked all over the internet with Yes, there were. Weird.
Star Wars?
Yeah, a lot of concept art was leaked to the internet, right? So, one of these things had to do with a TIE fighter, a particular TIE fighter. In particular, and again, this is all rumor and speculation because we really don't know. This has to do with John Boyega's character. Okay. So what we have heard about John Boyega is that supposedly, and this kind of still holds up, I guess, because I haven't heard anything to the contrary, is that supposedly John Boyega is a rogue stormtrooper.
Or a rogue TIE fighter pilot or something.
Or a rogue squadron.
A rogue Imperial.
Rogue something, right. So, and supposedly he lands on the planet Tatooine and Daisy Ridley perhaps is dispatched to retrieve him. By all accounts, Daisy Ridley for sure, but perhaps John Boyega as well, end up being the protagonist throughout the trilogy. And
so John Boyega's Jasmine and Daisy Ridley's Aladdin.
Exactly.
Okay, got
That's exactly the way you need to think about
and
this.
And the Force is genie.
So if we go to, and geez, I don't know if we've got that pulled up, but.
This is actually a pretty good metaphor. R2, C-3PO, Abu and Magic Carpet. I'm just saying.
What about Raja?
Mike's wanting Raja. You to pull up some.
We were talking about the pictures.
I have no idea that Mike's won anything. I'm looking over at Howie, and he's doing this magic point at the monitor dance.
You might have
to
go to the notes from our last podcast.
Oh, sweet, merciful
Isn't
goodness.
That just your tab? Oh, just go down to the picture. No.
Scrolling.
Where are you?
Anyway, we're going.
Good podcasting.
Come along with us.
We're enjoying this.
Check That's this what happens.
Out. Yeah, let's so these pictures.
So the pictures that have been leaked. One of them, of course, includes the aforementioned picture of a downed TIE fighter that supposedly is John Boyega's when he crash lands on Tatooine or another desert planet of some sort.
Is there blue or
it'd
green
be toward the bottom?
Corriban.
Ah, yes, maybe. The bottom.
So supposedly
that's definitely art of a crashing TIE fighter. There's not a lot of other interpretation available.
Supposedly that's John Boyega's. I'm not sure I believe a lot of that yet because there's still rumors that perhaps he's Lando's kid and all kinds of stuff surrounding him.
What if he's a rebellious Lando's kid?
Could be.
Ooh, you can't tell me what to do.
He's like, I'm joining the Empire.
He goes, oh, there goes my baby.
So, yeah, I'm not sure I buy that yet either, but supposedly, and we've got these pictures tagged to our Twitter and Facebook accounts, so be sure to check them out. But
do explore.
if you want to go back and take a look at some of the other pictures, we can.
Mike, will you let these pictures go? Okay, yes.
Anything else? Okay, first I'm gonna point you to the direction of a picture. Go toward the top.
Oh, of course, we're going right back up to the top again.
Okay.
Did you just point at Daisy Ridley's crotch?
If you remember a few podcasts ago, there was a drawing. Somebody claimed that they had seen concept art of Daisy Ridley's uniform. He did not snap a picture. What he did is he committed it to memory and sketched it out when he got home and posted it to the internet.
Right.
It was a pencil sketch. It was poorly done. But this particular piece of artwork looks like that description.
Sure does.
He
took more time and actually made the picture.
I would say, remember the episode 11, Fly Casual episode 11, episode title. This to me is the quintessential Jedi street rat.
Street rat, yes. Yeah. Yes. And there's other pictures in here that we're going to point to that kind of confirm some of that. One of the critiques that we had on some of these rumors in the last couple of podcasts, especially the one where we said Jedi Street Rat, is that Daisy Ridley actually lives on Tatooine, or a Tatooine-like planet, and that she lives in
not Tatooine at all? What if it's like the sandy beaches of like Costa Rica or something that? Like, or it's a tropical island planet.
It's the sandy beaches of Kashyyyk.
So, which is the aforementioned AT-AT, the downed AT-AT that supposedly she lives in, is part of this concept art. So, we're taking a look at it right now. It looks like it's an AT-AT that has fallen on its side.
It has experienced some oxidation as the years go by.
Click on it, it'll give you a bigger version.
Of course I'm going to do that now.
Maybe Hoth just experienced a bunch of global warming.
That's true.
I think she's performing scientific experiments.
Whoa.
And that's why she's there.
The weirdness regarding this is because by all accounts, everybody is assuming or has assumed from the beginning that Daisy Ridley is going to be the daughter of Han Solo and Princess Leia. And by all accounts, Princess Leia is going to be the head of the Republic in this movie, and that Han Solo is a retired admiral, commander, something of the Imperial, or I'm sorry, the New Republic fleet.
And, so this leads you to believe that this is not the daughter of high-ranking officials.
That's how it would look, unless she's Miss Rebellious and just runs off and wanted to be by herself, right?
You know, she could be here.
Live in the belly of a metal beast.
She could be there for any number of reasons.
True.
I mean,
true.
She could be performing science experiments.
She could have experienced a young teenage pregnancy, and this is where they send them.
This is maybe she's giving birth to Santa Fe of the Star Wars universe.
Junior.
Anakin Junior.
Ship her off to New Mexico.
So Ghost Anakin got her pregnant with himself.
Ghost Anakin. Yes, that's exactly right.
All of this makes sense.
He knocked up his own granddaughter and then.
Oh, gross.
Dude was dark, guys. Way dark.
That's true. He was.
This is where she's trying to find where Luke is.
So some of this concept art is kind of connecting with what we've seen. Right now we're looking at some
people are talking about it, and they're making concept art about what people have talked about.
That's the one. Howie has a point. We're not seeing anything that's actually new. We're seeing stuff that's pictures of stuff we've already heard.
Right.
Now, one begets the other, but that's a two-way street. It's well, it could be being beget.
None of this is confirmed. Nobody knows for sure. These are
what? These are rumors.
are rumors.
Interesting. Why aren't we talking about that picture of that skeleton-looking guy holding Darth Vader's helmet?
Whoa, Mike, point.
You see that one? It's like at the top of the page. Yeah.
That's Luke.
Now if you look at the hand, you see the hand in particular.
It's a robot hand.
Remember the hand of when J.J. Abrams announced the winner of the contest?
Yeah.
Of the guy that got to
be. That's
the hand that was holding the little note.
And that's what people are now saying, or they have been saying, that could be Luke's hand.
Right.
Well, yeah, some people, if Luke ends up being, like we said in our last rumors podcast, being the main villain, this could possibly be Luke. I don't know.
Why did I bring
I'm trying
scent?
To understand that. I'm not sure that it is. Myself.
Did he walk into the fire with his dragon egg?
But see, this goes back to, because everybody's like, he's got the beard and all this stuff. Or is that the misdirection? And he actually looks like this.
I got to pitch something to you guys. We've talked already about the possible, the Dark Empire parallel with the resurrected Shiva Khomeini Palpatine, whatever his name is. What if you've got this, you know, Selkathy looking fish facey dude who's kind of Sithy and has a metallic hand and goes, you know who was really good at doing evil? Darth Vader. Do you guys remember him? That dude was a BA. We should look. So he goes and he's like, you know, pulls this thing out of the soot pile.
He's like
on
Voldemort
Endor.
Going to get the wand out, exactly. Out of the grave. Is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
He pulls it out and he goes, there's a little DNA here. What if they clone Vader? Has anyone verified the whereabouts of Hayden Christensen recently?
Oh no. No, see, you guys say
he's not on the radar anymore.
So you take some of Hayden Christensen's genes and then you clone it and then it becomes Benedict Cumberbatch. Is that what you're saying?
That is the best mistake in cloning I've ever heard.
Maybe you mix in some emperor DNA in there, yeah. too.
Oh, okay.
Like you have
oh,
a man. Emperor right. baby.
We totally screwed up, made him taller and with a bigger nose and a deeper voice. You know what? Let's roll with that. Let's go.
Well, here's the thing too about this picture. Everybody, the accounts that we've heard about Max von Sydow's character is that he's going to be like a carryover from the Clone Wars, and he's really old,
right.
and that he's more cybernetic than... so
more machine than man.
Right. Then, I mean, makes you wonder, okay, well, what we're seeing here in this particular piece of concept art kind of fills that description a little bit.
This, sure do.
This scene's going to roll after the credits.
This will be the Marvel after credit sequence.
Will they? You think they will? Honestly, no.
What do you think he's saying? Is this, you know, you got the guy. He's holding up Vader's mask. His robotic hand with one finger extended in front of its mouth. As he's sitting there going, shh.
Now go back. There's another one too. I want to take a look at this other one toward the bottom.
Come in closer.
I got to keep clicking back. Mike's just going to keep waving his hand all over my screen.
So there's another version of the same thing. If you click on it, it'll probably be bigger, too.
Oh, it won't be that much bigger. Look, are you happy?
It was bigger. So kind of same thing, right? I mean, do you guys see anything in this one? It looks like he's on a starship, you know, maybe a Star Destroyer of some sort.
Maybe an Executor class Star Destroyer.
What? Could be.
Yeah, you got it half off from the bargain bin at this point.
But it's the same half robotic character holding Vader's helmet. This time it's more
robotic. It looks more like an actual human distorted burned face.
Yeah, but it's still clearly the same hand.
Yeah. Same character.
So and again, this is would be if it's true, would be concept art. So this could be early, you know, sketches, ideas.
Anybody have any ideas? Somebody gets messed up. I mean messed up. But they'd be obsessed with Vader in some way to the point where they go collecting the bits and pieces of him.
Well, who has a connection? Who has a really close connection to Vader?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't feel like Luke. I mean, I know the obvious answer is Luke, but I'm not sure that that's the case. Luke's the one that burned him and left him up. Yeah, right. You know, so that doesn't feel right to me either.
Who would know where Vader's mask is?
Luke's cruising along. He's collecting his pension.
Ewoks.
You know what I mean? He's like, now that I'm retired, I really, really should have buried him. I feel like a dick.
Warwick Davis.
You know? Yes, Warwick Davis.
He's a new Vader.
I don't know. I look at this and I get excited. I'm like, this is a pretty freaking cool scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, could be. Maybe makes you wonder, I mean, who this is and what this is all about.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. It's all speculation.
Right.
So, why don't you go back, brother man?
Oh, we're going to go look at another picture.
I don't know. Let's see if we got anything else.
Best audio podcast ever.
You like that?
Hey, yeah. This is the follow-along podcast where you should be clicking on these pictures with us.
There's some other things like that are basically reminiscent of scenes that we knew that were
We've actually seen leaked photos and things from Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Right.
So there's, you know, some of the things that we've seen, set pieces, real set pieces, things like that. That are depicted here. So, it's seeming confirmation, you know, from actual leaked photos. Once you go back again, there's one more I want to show you.
All right, last one. I'm enforcing this.
All right, let's see if I can find it here real quick. Hello. Well,
this is getting better. You want me to look at grass?
Yeah, now that one.
That looks like the set that they're on.
That looks like those drone. Isn't that the drone?
We're looking at concept art that looks very much like the drone shots of the X-Wings and Millennium Falcon in a in sort of like earth bermed hangars,
right?
That we've already seen from the actual set. So yeah,
but as you guys are pointing out, this means nothing. This could be
somebody saw that, painted it up,
and said, "Hey, look, this is the real thing."
Is that likely? I would say it's not very likely, but you know,
there's a lot of people who like to. Ooh, I want to take it.
And right. Other than a handful of things like the dude with the mechanical hand holding the Vader mask and stuff like that, there's not a lot here that presents any type of new perspective on anything.
It really doesn't. People have been tweaking on it. They love being able to see this stuff, but you're right. There's not really anything new here.
What are they tweaking when they tweak, Mike? Are they tweaking their own nips?
Are they twerking?
Oh,
it could be twerking. Maybe. They could be twerking it.
What if
while
you tweak and twerk at the same time?
Then you don't want to do that. You do not want to do that.
I wouldn't play.
Take my word for it. I know.
So, do you guys remember how we talked about Obi-Wan might be getting his own spinoff because they can't figure out how to make Boba Fett work?
I told them how to make it work, and they didn't listen.
I know.
Well, suddenly Obi-Wan has got a trilogy of movies now.
Yes. Oh, whatever.
Yes. So, yes, we've graduated from a Obi-Wan spinoff to now a trilogy.
Yes.
Is that a graduation, really?
Well, I guess, right? I mean, you go from one movie to three. That seems like graduating, right?
Yes.
No, maybe, possibly.
From a certain point of view.
I'm just playing with the range on my mic. Adjusted my pants from like 5 feet away. Look at this.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that just the most interesting
thing
you've
ever heard?
That's
the elastic on my boxers.
Yes. Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome, listeners. A little insight into my life.
So, Obi-Wan trilogy, do you guys think that there's actually enough interest in the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi to make three movies?
Nope.
Sure, why not?
Nope.
We have a yes and we have a no.
Nope.
It's Star Wars.
Cyclops on this one.
Star Wars.
It depends how they do it. Are they going to do like Spider-Man where they have ultimate?
Well, here's what we know because there's Obi-Wan. There's an accompanying rumor this week.
Amazing Obi-Wan.
That they are going to be headed to Abu Dhabi. And that's where they've supposedly filmed, you know, some of episode 7 stuff. And that one of these supposed trilogy movies is going to be entirely on the planet of Tatooine.
Oh, interesting.
So, Well, I don't know.
You always gotta have a whole movie on Tatooine.
But bro, I'm just trying to think about that. I mean, okay, an Obi-Wan spinoff, okay, I can buy that. But a trilogy? I mean,
how much can you really do?
I mean, that's the big question mark.
Like we said when we were talking about the Tarkin book in the last episode, we kind of already know how this plays out.
We do. Yes,
yeah,
we do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And is that interesting? That's what we had with the prequels. We knew how they ended, right?
Right.
So, well, not much mystery there.
He never left Tatooine. I mean, that's the assumption.
Well, that's the assumption, is that when he dropped off Luke, he went into seclusion and watched the boy.
But, you know, every dude's got to have a weekend out. Am I right, boys? He's like, you know what? The kid's off at summer sand camp. You know, okay. I'm just might as well get out of the house.
I'm going to pitch something to you guys.
So my
Obi
Wild Oats. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to pitch something to you guys, really. Okay? Because we've got established canon, right? And part of that established canon, this new canon, is that the Clone Wars is part of that. So what happens to Obi-Wan toward the end of that Clone Wars series? He has a confrontation with a certain nemesis, someone that he's come into contact with before, and actually cut in half. And that would be Darth Maul, right?
No, Darth Maul, right. That's the guy. The whole time I'm sitting going, he knocks up Satine.
Okay, we want the sex scene. Not going
to
happen.
Probably. I just want Sabine to be Obi-Wan's daughter because nothing could be more lame than that.
Okay, so how likely is it that they bring Obi-Wan and Darth Maul back together for a cinematic orgasm?
Together at last, the way you once knew them, arm in arm, holding canes and top hats, singing the Muppets
The Clone Wars are canon. The Clone Wars has reintroduced him as his antagonist, and he's the pro. You know, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of any character in the Star Wars universe that I want to see a whole trilogy of, just based around.
I don't think I can think of any.
I mean, I love Star Wars. I love all the characters, but a whole trilogy?
Any one character? Yeah, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Yeah. I mean, there's some great books out about Corrin Horn.
Yeah, well, that would be kind of cool.
That's literally, like, other than Corrin Horn, I have trouble. I mean, if you wanted to make good movies out of the video games, maybe Kyle Katarn, but no one else has a personal story that I think could actually do that for me.
God, I would love a Kyle Katarn or a Corrin
Horn. Kyle Katarn!
Or Darth Revan.
You old pirate.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. I think if they do that, they're gonna run the risk of running the series into the ground.
Let me ask each Unless one Kevin of you. I'm gonna go around the table here. Is the rumor of a trilogy true, Corey?
Probably not.
Howie?
I don't think so.
Gary?
Okay.
No.
I want to see Obi-Wan. I personally want to.
I know you're a fan. I'm a fan. I would like to see
but
a movie.
I don't think a trilogy makes a lot of sense.
How do you make it into three movies?
I am perfectly willing to believe
maybe
that
a Netflix
someone
series.
I'm perfectly willing. Nice, Daredevil. I'm perfectly willing to believe that there is someone involved in the process somewhere whose eyeglasses are actually made out of recycled checkbooks, and they actually see things solely in terms of potential dollars and have actually. No discernible ability to understand the taste and the actual transactions of the public. These are the people who will keep making Transformer movies no matter how terrible they are and how much people hate them, because the money keeps coming in, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll, and literally, but there are movies that come out that I'm having trouble coming up with an example. There are movies come out that are just abjectly hated across the board, and they spend a fortune on the sequels, and the sequels don't do that well. And they're surprised.
What if it's a trilogy about the spirit world through Obi-Wan's eyes?
The spirit world,
whatever it's called in Star Wars.
Yeah,
Obi-Wan is the link to the spirit world.
You go to the force, you know,
the unifying force.
Yeah.
He's a force bender.
He's a blue dude.
I think the
at the end of.
I don't know. Obi-Wan is so straight-laced, man. Yeah. Like we've said before, he's such a vanilla character.
They've run a huge
I don't
risk.
Know how you turn him into anything but. And I think you can fit that into one movie and maintain what you've already established about him. But trying to force it into three movies takes him out of the character that we know.
I agree.
The nerd movie is already oversaturated. I mean, you got DC and Marvel coming out with 300 movies over the next 20 years.
That's true.
I mean, Star Wars is obviously going to do awesome. The main trilogy, but trying to fit in a new series, three movies of the same guy. That's not going to do it when you got all this other stuff going on.
I agree.
I don't think,
I think what, if they want to take a page out of the Marvel book, put it out, see how it does,
and then decide.
Right. God yeah, exactly.
forbid you actually decide whether you're going to make another one after you see how the first one does.
Exactly.
I know that's totally not in vogue right now, boys, but it is a thing that is still.
There's
possible.
A way to write it so that you could leave it open ended.
What if
you
it's
know,
not a trilogy
a
about Obi-Wan, but a trilogy that Obi-Wan is in,
or maybe that Obi-Wan's the first part and then a trilogy continues without potentially being necessarily about him.
Right.
All things that I don't believe Hollywood is capable of.
I don't think
they have that much depth.
I think, dude, I mean, there's already rumors about episode 10, 11, 12. So,
oh geez.
I mean, I think that if you're going that route, you
gotta
just put that into 10, 11, 12.
I got to start budgeting out my retirement for these movies.
Oh, no joke.
Seriously.
But seriously, like I said, they're just going to kill the market with all these movies coming out.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
mean, the way they got them scheduled out to 2020.
It's amazing that Marvel's been able to do what they've done, and who knows how sustainable it is.
Right.
But if you know, Mother Disney brings another property property into that kind of constant, you know, evolution I agree. I don't know how willing people are going to be excited every 3 months for a movie.
Well,
on that level,
For the most part, I'm pretty tired of superhero movies.
Yeah.
See, how is everybody tired of them?
Yeah. There's only a few that I'm still excited about.
We're about 10 years overdue on that. Yes.
Yeah. And so I still
want more
there. You know, it's one of those things you oversaturate, like you're saying. I don't know that I'll ever get tired of Star Wars.
We're finally getting Ant-Man off the ground. And I go, really? Just shut up already. And they go, we cast Paul Rudd. And I go, shut up and take my money. I mean, they keep doing things that make me go, okay, I'm still in. So I'm not quite there yet. But Are we being a little fickle, though?
Are we being a little fickle? Because it's like we want Star Wars, but yet we've been burned. We've been burned, but it's like, well, we want Star Wars.
Well, see, and that's where I'm saying maybe take more of the timid approach. Do one, see how people react to it, and then build on it.
Right.
That seems like what they did with Marvel, right?
Yeah, they came out a little but more slowly. They always kept the grand plan in mind.
They did. I mean, they had the idea that we're gonna have individual movies, and then we're gonna bring them all together in the Avengers, and that's fine. That's a different, you know, thing entirely.
After farming out all their A-tier stuff to various production companies, so they were short-sighted on the front end. Yeah. But Spider-Man. Then there was so much money made that they went, Hulk, oh, geez. X-Men. Well, no, Hulk is there, but like it was, you know, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and X-Men are the big ones. And they're like, crap, we farmed out all of our most popular stuff. And they've taken their B and C tier stuff and they're turning it into A tier. Right. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Anyhow. But, yeah,
that's the big. And I think friend of the show, Amy Ratcliffe, pointed that out too. That was her big fear going forward, is that oversaturation. And it seems like that. I mean, if we're gonna suddenly take a spinoff movie and turn it into a trilogy, it's like, oh my gosh, where does this end?
Yeah,
you know.
Speaking of where things end, this podcast has been going on for quite some time. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Mike's sending me signals. And he's whispering to me because he doesn't see my finger hovering over the over the button right now. If you stuck in for this long, you're wondering, hey, why haven't we heard our certain favorite segment that we tune in for, right? Gentlemen.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's what? Time. At last. At long last.
Wait? What?
For your Star Wars fan of the week.
Oh, yes.
It's me. Derek
has a feeling. I'm hoping. I'm crossing my fingers this week, man.
Is it going to be you this time?
Sir Patrick Stewart, we are very honored to have you on the show.
Well, I'm honored to be here.
Are you?
Well, more or less.
Yeah, I see. So let's just put it on the table. Tell me about your take on Star Wars.
I remember when they first called me in for an audition, I was quite taken by surprise. I was doing a reading of Shakespeare at UCLA, and Bob Justman, who, as you know, was a producer on the original series, he claims to have immediately known that I was to be cast, but there was, Patrick, of course, far more to it.
I'm not sure.
There was a meeting at Gene's house, and I arrived in none other than a cheap rental car, but that only lasted under an hour. I'm told Gene wanted no part of me.
We were...
at least not initially.
Yeah.
I wasn't tall. I wasn't French. I certainly didn't have the typical quaff of a leading man. But be that as it may, destiny had its wits about it, I suppose. And history became what it is.
Patrick, I was asking about Star Wars.
I'm sorry, what?
Star Wars fan of the week.
Ah. Patrick, huh?
Yeah, there was a little confusion.
On the day we did.
A little confusion on the day we recorded that.
Hey, at least we got him on the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't not going to post it. I mean, it was too big a deal. So
he's been knighted by the Queen.
Yes,
exactly. Sir, I mean, we did talk about Star Trek earlier, so it seemed appropriate.
Only appropriate. Yes, let's turn this into a Star Trek podcast. Well, thank you very much.
It was the alpha and the omega of this one, and by omega I mean the end. Thank God.
Yes,
you have tuned in and stuck along for far too much of your valuable time, and we're glad to have had you. Hey, please follow us on Twitter at flycasual1138. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/flycasualpodcast, and please go out and rate us and review us on every single podcast distribution line you can find, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or whatever, because that's the kind of thing that gets us the exposure that allows us to keep pumping out this type of ridiculous content.
What we doing.
That's right. And we very much appreciate you joining us. I'm Corey. That's Howie over there.
Yo.
That's Mike over there.
Yellow.
And Garrick somewhere.
Watch out for Chopper.
See?
He's a dick.
Gotcha.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been nothing but jelly, but thank you for joining us.
See ya.